I suspect Alendi, the man Rashik killed, was himself a Misting, a seeker. Allomancy, however, was a different thing in those days, and much more rare. The Allomancers alive in our day are the descendants of the men who ate those few beads of preservation's power. They formed the foundation of the nobility, and were the first to name him emperor. The power in these few beads was so concentrated that it could last through 10 centuries of breeding and inheritance. 62. Sazed stood outside the room, looking in. Spook lay in his bed, still swaddled in bandages. The boy had not awakened since his ordeal, and Sazed wasn't certain if he ever would. Even if he did live, he'd be horribly scarred for the rest of his life. Though, Sazed thought, this proves one thing. The boy doesn't have pewter. If Spook had been able to burn pewter, then he would have healed far more quickly. Sazed had administered a vial of pewter just in case, and it had made no difference. The boy hadn't mystically become a thug. It was comforting, in a way. It meant that Sazed's world still made sense. Inside the room, the girl, Beldra, sat at Spook's side. She came every day to spend time with the lad. More time even than she spent with her brother Quellion. The citizen had a broken arm and some other wounds, but nothing lethal. Though Breeze ruled in Urto, Quellion was still an authority, and he seemed to have grown far more civil. He now seemed willing to consider an alliance with Elend. It seemed strange to Sazed that Quellion would become so accommodating. They had entered his city, sown chaos, and nearly killed him. Now he listened to their offers of peace? Sazed was suspicious, to be sure. Time would tell. Inside, Beldra turned slightly, finally noticing Sazed at the doorway. She smiled, standing.
"Please, Lady Beldra," he said, entering. "Don't stand."
She seated herself again as Sazed walked forward. He surveyed his bandage work on Spook, checking the young man's condition, comparing notes from inside the medical texts of his copper mines. Beldra watched quietly. Once he was finished, he turned to leave.
"Thank you,"
Beldra said from behind. Sazed stopped. She glanced at Spook.
"Do you think, I mean, has his condition changed?"
"I'm afraid that it has not, Lady Beldra. I cannot promise anything in regard to his recovery."
She smiled faintly, turning back toward the wounded lad.
"He'll make it," she said.
Sazed frowned.
"He's not just a man," Beldra said. "He's something special. I don't know what he did to bring my brother back, but Quellion is just like his old self, the way he was before all of this insanity began. And the city... the people have hope again. That's what Spook wanted."
Hope, Sazed thought, studying the girl's eyes. She really does love him. It seemed in a way silly to Sazed. How long had she known the boy? A few weeks? During that short time, Spook had not only earned Beldra's love, but had become a hero to the people of an entire city.
"She sits and hopes, having faith that he will recover," Sazed thought. "Yet upon seeing him, the first thing I thought of was how relieved I was that he wasn't a pewter arm."
Had Sazed really become that callous? Just 2 years before, he had been willing to fall hopelessly in love with a woman who had spent most of her life chastising him, a woman with whom he had only had a few precious days. He turned and left the room. Sazed walked to his quarters in the nobleman's mansion they had taken, their new home now that their former residence was a burned-out ruin. It was nice to have ordinary walls and steps again, rather than endless shelves bounded by cavern walls. On his desk sat the open portfolio, its cloth-wrapped coverboard stained with ash. One stack of pages sat to his left, and one stack sat to its right. There were only 10 pages left in the right stack. Taking a deep breath, Sazed approached and sat down. It was time to finish. It was late morning the next day before he set the final sheep onto the top of the left stack. He'd moved quickly through these last 10, but he'd been able to give them his undivided attention, not being distracted by riding as he worked or other concerns. He felt that he'd given each one due consideration. He sat for a time, feeling fatigued, and not just from lack of sleep. He felt numb. His task was done. After a year's work, he'd sifted through each and every religion in his stack. And he'd eliminated every one. It was odd how many common features they all had. Most claimed ultimate authority, denouncing other faiths. Most taught of an afterlife, but could offer no proof. Most taught about a god or gods, yet, again, had little justification for their teachings. And every single one of them was riddled with inconsistencies and logical fallacies. How did men believe in something that preached love on one hand, yet taught destruction of unbelievers on the other? How did one rationalize belief with no proof? How could they honestly expect him to have faith in something that taught of miracles and wonders in the far past, but carefully gave excuses for why such things didn't occur in the present day? And then, of course, there was the final flake of ash on the pile, the thing that each and every faith had, in his opinion, failed to prove. All taught that believers would be blessed, and all had absolutely no answer as to why their gods had allowed the faithful to be captured, imprisoned, enslaved, and slaughtered by a heretic known as Rashik, the Lord Ruler. The stack of pages sat face down on the desk before him. They meant that there was no truth, no faith that would bring Tyndall back to him, nothing watching over men, contrary to what Spook had affirmed so strongly. Sazed ran his fingers across the final page and finally the depression he'd been fighting, barely holding at bay for so long, was too strong for him to overcome. The portfolio had been his final line of defense. It was pain. That's what the loss felt like. Pain and numbness at the same time. A barb-covered wire twisting around his chest combined with an absolute inability to do anything about it. He felt like huddling in a corner, crying, and just letting himself die. No, he thought. There must be something. He reached under his desk, trembling fingers seeking his sack of metal mines. However, he didn't pull one of these out, but instead removed a large, thick tome. He put it on the table beside his portfolio, then opened it to a random page. Words written in two different hands confronted him. One was careful and flowing, his own. The other was terse and determined, Tyndall's. He rested his fingers on the page. He and Tyndall had compiled this book together, deciphering the history, prophecies, and meanings surrounding the Hero of Ages, back before Sazed had stopped caring. That's a lie, he thought, forming a fist. Why do I lie to myself? I still care. I never stopped caring. If I'd stopped caring, then I wouldn't still be searching. If I didn't care so much, then being betrayed wouldn't feel so painful. Kelsier had spoken of this. Then Vin had done the same. Sazed had never expected to have similar feelings. Who was there that could hurt him so deeply that he felt betrayed? He was not like other men. He acknowledged that not out of arrogance, but out of simple self-knowledge. He forgave people, perhaps to a fault. He simply wasn't the type to feel bitter. He'd assumed, therefore, that he would never have to deal with these emotions. That's why he'd been so unprepared to be betrayed by the only thing he couldn't accept as being flawed. He couldn't believe. If he believed, it meant that God, or the universe, or whatever it was that watched over man, had failed. Better to believe that there was nothing at all. Then all of the world's inadequacies were simply mere chance, not caused by a God who had failed them. Sazed glanced at his open tome, noticing a little slip of paper sticking out between its pages. He pulled it free, surprised to find the picture of a flower that Vin had given him, the one that Kelsier's wife had carried.
the one she'd used to give herself hope, to remind her of a world that had existed before the coming of the Lord Ruler. He glanced upward. The ceiling was of wood, but red sunlight, refracted by the window, sprayed across it. "Why?" he whispered. "Why leave me like this? I studied everything about you. I learned the religions of 500 different peoples and sects. I taught about you when other men have given up 1,000 years before. Why leave me without hope, when others can have faith? Why leave me to wonder? Shouldn't I be more certain than any other? Shouldn't my knowledge have protected me?"
And yet his faith had made him even more susceptible.
"That's what trust is," Sazed thought. "It's about giving someone else power over you. Power to hurt you."
That's why he'd given up his metal mines. That's why he had decided to sort through the religions one at a time, trying to find one that had no faults. Nothing to fail him. It just made sense. Better to not believe, rather than be proven wrong. Sazed looked down. Why did he think to talk to the heavens? There was nothing there. There never had been. Outside in the hallway, he could hear voices.
"My dear doggie," Breeze said, "surely you'll stay for another day?"
"No," said Tensun the Khandra, speaking in his growling voice. "I must find Vin as soon as possible."
Even the Khandra, Sazed thought. Even an inhuman creature has more faith than I. And yet how could they understand? Sazed closed his eyes tight, feeling a pair of tears squeeze from the corners. How could anyone understand the pain of a faith betrayed? He had believed, and yet when he had needed hope the most, he had found only emptiness.
He picked up the book, then snapped closed his portfolio, locking the inadequate summaries inside. He turned toward the hearth. Better to simply burn it all.
"Belief." He remembered a voice from the past, his own voice, speaking to Vin on that terrible day after Kelsier's death. "Belief isn't simply a thing for fair times and bright days, I think. What is belief? What is faith if you don't continue in it after failure?"
How innocent he had been.
"Better to trust and be betrayed," Kelsier seemed to whisper. It had been one of the survivor's mottos. "Better to love and be hurt."
Sazed gripped the tome. It was such a meaningless thing. Its text could be changed by ruin at any time.
"And do I believe in that?" Sazed thought with frustration. "Do I have faith in this ruin, but not in something better?"
He stood quietly in the room, holding the book, listening to Breeze and Tensun outside. The book was a symbol to him. It represented what he had once been. It represented failure. He glanced upward again.
"Please," he thought. "I want to believe. I really do. I just need something. Something more than shadows and memories. Something real. Something true. Please."
"Farewell, Soother," Tensun said. "Give my regards to the announcer."
Then Sazed heard Breeze thump away. Tensun padded down the hallway on his quieter dog's feet.
"Announcer?" Sazed froze. "That word."
Sazed stood, stunned for a moment. Then he threw his door open and burst into the hallway. The door slammed back against the wall, making Breeze jump. Tensun stopped at the end of the hallway near the stairs. He turned back, looking at Sazed.
"What did you call me?" Sazed demanded.
"The announcer," Tensun said. "You are you not, the one who pointed out Lady Vin as the hero of ages? That, then, is your title."
Sazed fell to his knees, slapping his tome, the one he had written with Tyndall, on the floor before him. He flipped through the pages, locating one in particular, penned in his own hand. "I thought myself the holy witness," it said, "the prophet foretold to discover the hero of ages." They were the words of Quan, the man who had originally named Elendi the hero. From these writings, which were their only clues about the original Terrace religion, Sazed and the others had gleaned what little they knew of the prophecies about the hero of ages.
"What is this?" Breeze asked, leaning down, scanning the words. "Looks like you've got the wrong term, my dear doggy. Not announcer at all, but holy witness."
Sazed looked up. "This is one of the passages that Ruin changed, Breeze," he said quietly. "When I wrote it, it read differently, but Ruin altered it, trying to trick me and Vin into fulfilling his prophecies. The Scar had started to call me the Holy Witness, their own term. So Ruin retroactively changed Quan's writings so that they seemed prophetic and reference me."
"Is that so?" Breeze asked, rubbing his chin. "What did it say before?"
Sazed ignored the question, instead meeting Tensun's canine eyes.
"How did you know?" he demanded. "How do you know the words of the ancient Terrace prophecies?"
Tensun fell back on his haunches.
"It strikes me as odd, Terraceman. There's one great inconsistency in this all, a problem no one has ever thought to point out. What happened to the packmen who traveled with Rashik and Elendi up to the Well of Ascension?"
Rashik, the man who had become the Lord Ruler. Breeze stood up straight.
"That's easy, Khandra," he said, waving his cane. "Everyone knows that when the Lord Ruler took the throne of Chlenium, he made his trusted friends into noblemen. That's why the nobility of the final empire were so pampered. They were the descendants of Rashik's good friends."
Tensun sat quietly.
"No," Sazed thought with wonder. "No, that couldn't be. He couldn't have made those packmen into nobles."
"Why ever not?" Breeze asked.
"Because the nobility gained allomancy," Sazed said, standing. "Rashik's friends were ferrochemists. If he'd made them into noblemen, then..."
"Then they could have challenged him," Tensun said. "They could have become both allomancers and ferrochemists as he was, and had his same powers."
"Yes," Sazed said. "He spent 10 centuries trying to breed ferrochemy out of the Terrace population, all in fear that someday someone would be born with both ferrochemy and allomancy. His friends who went to the well with him would have been dangerous, since they were obviously powerful ferrochemists, and they knew what Rashik had done to Elendi. Rashik would have had to do something else with them, something to sequester them, perhaps even kill them."
"No," Tensun said. "He didn't kill them. You call the father a monster, but he was not an evil man. He didn't kill his friends, though he did recognize the threat their powers posed to him. So he offered them a bargain, speaking directly to their minds while he was holding the power of creation."
"What bargain?" Breeze asked, obviously confused.
"Immortality," Tensun said quietly. "In exchange for their ferrochemy. They gave it up, along with something else."
Sazed stared at the creature in the hallway, a creature who thought like a man but had the form of a beast.
"They gave up their humanity," Sazed whispered.
Tensun nodded.
"They live on?" Sazed asked, stepping forward. "The Lord Ruler's companions? The very Terracemen who climbed to the well with him?"
"We call them the First Generation," Tensun said. "The founders of the Khandra people. The father transformed every living ferrochemist into a mist-wraith, beginning that race. His good friends, however, he returned to sentience with a few hemorrhagic spikes. "You've done your work poorly, Keeper. I expected that you'd drag this out of me long before I had to leave."
"I've been a fool," Sazed thought, blinking away tears. "Such a fool."
"What?" Breeze asked, frowning. "What's going on?" "Sazed? My dear man, why are you so flustered? What do this creature's words mean?"
"They mean hope," Sazed said, pushing into his room, hurriedly throwing some of his clothing into a travel pack.
"Hope?" Breeze asked, peeking in.
Sazed looked back toward where Breeze stood. The Chondra had walked up and stood behind him in the hallway.
"The Terrace religion, Breeze," Sazed said. "The thing my sect was founded for. The thing my people have spent lifetimes searching to discover. It lives on. Not in written words that can be corrupted or changed, but in the minds of men who actually practiced it. The Terrace faith is not dead."
There was one more religion to add to his list. His quest was not yet over.
"Quickly, Keeper," Tensun said. "I was prepared to go without you since everyone agreed that you had stopped caring about these things. However, if you will come, I will show you the way to my homeland. It is along the path I must travel to find Vin. Hopefully you will be able to convince the first generation of the things I have not."
"And that is?" Sazed asked, still packing.
"That the end has arrived."